Welcome to the Serious TV Drama Podcast with Scott and Dan. I'm Scott, and with me as always, the brawn to my brand, the oh boy to my oh man, it's Dan.
Yo, it's been a while. I've been patrolling north of the wall with Benjamin Stark, and I finally came back. Got a little frostbite, but unlike Theon, I'm, you know, intact where it counts, so how you been?
Wait, if you're Theon...
I said unlike Theon.
Oh, you said unlike Theon. Okay, that makes more sense. Have you ever noticed how many people have lost their balls on this show? Anyway, it's good to be back in the virtual recording booth with you again. It's been, I think the last time both of us recorded together, it's been over a month, actually. It might be our longest break since we started this thing.
Yeah, I could see that. Busy.
Yeah, exactly. It's life. But what has brought us together, finally, what's brought us back together to record once again, is another in a long line of penultimate episodes of Game of Thrones. I almost said Games of Thrones. I don't know why.
I still think that's technically the correct name, but, you know, a lot of games, one throne, but...
Certainly makes a lot more sense.
Yeah, plus it makes an excuse for our good friend Jack mispronouncing it for, like, the first three fucking years it was on.
That's right. He does do that, doesn't he?
Oh, yeah.
So, this is something that I think we've done the last couple years, if I'm not mistaken, where, as opposed to other TV shows that we've covered that maybe we wait till the next day or 2 days or whatever, we do more of a almost instant or immediate reaction kind of style here.
Yeah.
I mean, I only finished the episode about 40-odd minutes ago because I was watching it on a slight delay. I think you probably finished... Were you watching it on time?
Yeah, I was like 1 minute behind, but close enough. For me, that's very early.
Right. But we knew well in advance, as did pretty much every other Game of Thrones watcher, that this was supposed to be, you know, quote-unquote, a big episode, and not just because it was the ninth episode. We also knew well in advance this was supposed to be, you know, the big showdown between Jon Snow and Ramsay Bolton and everything else. So we knew that we were going to get together and record this. Even if we hadn't said anything, I think we just knew deep in our souls that we were going to do this. So what I think we can do here is I'm going to do like a super fast rundown of the episode. I'm going to call it the 2 minutes or less recap, and then we'll just dive in and talk about whatever the hell we want to talk about here. Does that make sense?
Oh, what was that? I'm trying to think of an acronym for the 2 minutes or less recap, so you just keep talking and I'll try to come up with that.
And then add GOT in there. So.
Yep.
All right. So... I think before this episode started, I mean, we almost had a thought that maybe the entire episode was going to exclusively be about the whole Snow versus Bolton battle, because...
That's the impression that I got. They didn't really touch on it much last week, so it kind of seemed like they would.
Yeah, I thought it was good. You know, that way it'd be kind of like the season 2, episode 9?
Blackwater.
Blackwater. And was Watcher... what was the thing with the Walker on the Walls one? The one that we didn't like?
Yeah, season 4 was like, you know, the Watcher on the Wall or something like that. So.
Was it 4 or 5? I get them all confused. Doesn't matter. See, obviously not a book reader. So let's get to it. Because this episode starts with... We pick up with... I always seem to call her Khaleesi. Maybe it's because I have a problem pronouncing her actual name. I mean, am I allowed to just call her Dany? Can I just call her Dany?
As long as you don't call me Dany, I don't fucking care what you call her.
Oh, shit. I hadn't even thought of that. All this time, I never made that link to your name in our introduction. How did I miss that opportunity? Anyway. So, Dany returns to Meereen. And, you know... Essentially, with her dragons, she lays waste to the entire Slaver's Armada. Although I did get a little confused when... Well, aren't they burning them all, or are they going to keep some of these ships? Because Tyrion makes a comment about they've acquired more ships as a result, and I kept thinking, aren't the dragons burning all the ships? But you know, they're not very clear about that.
Yeah, there is a lot of ships there, and I kind of got the impression like they seem to be tag teaming, you know, one or two of them. So I didn't see like, you know, it was a real clusterfuck going on, but they definitely were like, you know, teaming up and burning some of them. So maybe they just took out a couple flagships or something.
Yeah, and probably everyone else is abandoning ship because they're not going to fuck with the three dragons. So we go from that whole sequence, which was pretty awesome, to then we get this little face-off between Ramsay and Jon and Sansa. Basically, the thing to note there is Sansa gets a great line of, "You're going to die tomorrow, Lord Bolton, sleep well." I kind of enjoyed it. Interesting that he kept calling Jon Snow a bastard, and I kept thinking, but aren't you a bastard?
he's been legitimized now, so, you know, or, you know, technically he's a Bolton instead of a Snow now, so I'm sure he's spent his life being, well, yeah, even before, you know, we saw earlier in his earlier appearances how sensitive he was to being called a bastard. You know, his douchebag father was always rubbing it in, so I'm sure he realizes that Jon himself is probably susceptible to such things.
Right, and also one could also say that Jon is a literal bastard, where Ramsay is a figurative bastard. So maybe it works on that level. So after that, then we see they're making battle plans, and then we get that scene between Jon and Sansa where she's all, "Why don't you ask me for some tips? You know, I actually know the guy." And they're like, "Okay, give me some tips." And then she doesn't really have any. We also get Davos and Tormund. Is that how you pronounce his name? Tormund?
That's
how you
pronounce it. Yeah, that's okay. Tormund. Tormund.
Tormund. Whatever. The guy in the commercial with the big bushy beard. We get a nice little bonding moment, which whenever you can tell a guy happy shitting, you know, it's a nice little bonding moment.
We should start closing our podcast like that.
Yes, happy shitting. And after that, we get a scene with Jon and Melisandre. Not really much point to that, other than once again showing us how Melisandre is so much more unsure of herself since the end of last season than she ever was in the first few seasons of the show, which kind of makes her a bit more human, which is funny since we know now she's anything but. What else happened? When Davos goes for that little walk, he finds that little stag that he carved for Stannis' daughter, whose name escapes me right now. What, do you remember what her name was? Little girl?
Shireen.
Oh, look at you. Shireen. We did get that. So we end up getting that probably one of the most prettiest images in the entire episode of him standing, you know, over where she was burned and the sunrise behind him, if I'm not mistaken. That was kind of a nice composed image there. Then we switch back to Meereen, and Tyrion and Dany are meeting with Theon and Yara. For some reason, and I decided it must have been budgetary reasons, we don't get to see them showing up in Meereen or anything. We just cut to right them having a conversation.
Yeah, I was kind of at the end of last week, I was really hoping that Theon and Yara's fleet would show up and attack that fleet. And if they had done that, in the middle of the dragon fight, I mean, that would have been pretty sweet. Pretty costly, I'm sure, but that would have been cool.
Right. I'm sure. Yeah, I just kept thinking that must be why they just cut to them just being in the big pyramid antechamber room, whatever the fuck it is.
Yeah.
Because we're only going to spend a lot of money on this episode. we can cut this out of the script. that'll be on the audio version of a DVD extra or something. What was really great about this scene, other than Tyrion really laying into Theon with all the dwarf comments and everything from the past.
Yeah, I kind of want to watch the first few episodes again and just see, because I'm I remember how cocky and douchey Theon was, but I don't remember them two having much of an interaction in the very beginning. So I'm sure all that stuff's right there.
Yeah, I would. I actually agree. I wouldn't mind going back and checking that out as well. I thought the most notable thing about this is Yara and Dany kind of hitting it off here.
Yeah.
I really love that. I thought that was fantastic.
Yeah, it makes sense too.
Oh, absolutely. It felt like Yara was just saying all the right things. It was like, oh, it's like someone already gave her a playbook of how to talk to Dany, because of course everything you're saying is going to appeal to her the way you're talking. And what makes this a much easier recap, because then for the rest of most of the episode, is it's battle time. It's the big battle happens between Jon Snow's forces and Ramsay, you know, and of course, you know, things look pretty bad for Snow's guys. I'm sure we were both had that thought. when is Littlefinger and his men going to show up? The whole time I just kept waiting for them to come, you know, marching over the feet, over the hills or something. So, and they obviously they finally do, which, you know, turns the tide in battle. And by the end, we say bye-bye to 1-1. Is that the Giants?
Yeah.
Earlier, we also said bye-bye to, oh, we hardly ever knew you or cared about you, Rickon? I meant Rickon. I'm no matter when we do Game of Thrones podcasts, I always, sometimes I do it on purpose. None of those are on purpose. I legitimately fucked up the pronunciation, so I apologize.
Well, you have your usual eloquence, and I have my, you know, sputtery, fuck this, fuck that, but I'm good to remember those names, so, you know, we balance out nicely. Kind of like a nice slice of New York style pizza, really well balanced, this podcast is.
And of course, by the end of the episode, we get the end of Ramsay Bolton in a spectacularly satisfying fashion, at least as far as I was concerned.
Yep.
All right, so that was basically the episode. I know I went more than 2 minutes because I ended up embellishing, but hey, you know, that's my first time doing a really quick recap, so, you know, I'm going to get better at that, guys. So, where do you want to dive in first here?
I suppose you want to just do all the Marine stuff first and then just work our way through the Winterfell area stuff.
Sure. Yeah. Well, I was, you know, even though there's always going to be part of me that thinks, you know, Danny riding the dragon just feels just a little bit silly. It's more, or maybe I'm thinking of How to Train Your Dragon, you know, animated films or something. The dragons coming up and destroying everything was pretty fucking cool.
Oh, yeah.
You
know, yeah.
Even though we kind of knew what was going to happen, all the stuff dealing with the slavers was very satisfying.
Yeah.
Because you were just, I mean, they were kind of telegraphing what was going to be said, but it didn't matter. I didn't think it was bad writing. I was like, no, because that's exactly what I would have done. Like, yeah, we're not here to surrender to you.
Huh.
We're waiting for you to surrender to us. So that was very, very cool. But Grey Worm, holy shit.
Well, this is the first time all season he's really got to do anything, so it definitely was nice he actually got to, like, you know, make some sweet moves there.
Yeah, I mean, he had, when you consider you have this whole sequence which has dragons, you know, burning and Dany being defiant and being, you know, being the cool queen that she's suddenly become in the last season or so. The guy who gets the biggest badass part in the whole thing is fucking Grey Worm. You know, like, you know, again, you knew once they were trying to push that guy, like, No. That's the guy who's not going to get killed. That was going to be, like, one big slash like that.
Yeah, the Marine stuff was actually good for once. I mean, it's really, you know, it's been dragging on for way too many seasons, all this stuff. So it definitely, I mean, you could just tell, like, when everything was on fire, the dragons are flying all around. You're just like, okay, finally they're done with this shit. And they're just going to go out and, you know, it'll retroactively make some of it less painful, a little bit. But it's just like, you know, it's just more exciting because, I mean, for one thing, they just started out the episode, like, hardcore balls to the wall. Well, other than, you know, Theon. But
or Grey Worm.
But, you know, it started out well, and you got the impression that hope that they were finally going to be done with this shit. So it was cool.
And what was kind of nicely satisfying about it, it wasn't just seeing the dragons. First of all, the special effect of the dragons is really nice. I mean, I know this is TV, but I don't know if they saved their money up for it or what, but they're very convincing. They're very, I mean, that's the stuff of $200 million blockbuster movie shit. I thought those dragons looked just as good as the dragon in that those Hobbit movies or whatever, or maybe even better, quite frankly. You know what? You don't have to.
There was a lot of good character stuff in this Marine thing too. I mean, it was nice just Tyrion was able to. I mean, you know, there was like the scene where Dany kind of like, you know, looked at Tyrion and just was like, you know, you think this is a good idea? You know, deferring to him a little bit, and the fact that Tyrion brought up like the shitty stuff that her father, the Mad King, did, you know, just like, whoa, you don't want to be doing like that. And I kind of hadn't, like, you know, really put that together, just like, okay, you know, it's nice to have somebody there to, like, you know, tell you not to act like that. And it's actually like he was able to say, well, you know, Jamie told me about this, this is what happened, don't do this shit. And I think he set up the, you know, I think he was setting up some, like, stuff that, like, hey, there's still wildfire, like, rolling around underneath King's Landing to us. So I think that was a little bit of, like, setup for the future. But it was just really nicely done, a lot of that, this whole stuff.
It was kind of, I thought it was both a setup for possible future and also a callback to other episode, not the other, that a classic episode 9. Him being an advisor here and all, you know, and essentially a military advisor, I mean, also takes me back to that episode because that's what he was doing in that episode and ended up taking over. Can I also say, as far as satisfying moments, not because I don't want it to slip by. Yes, it's cool that the dragons were blowing up shit and all in the slash. But also, what do we call them? The Khal Drogo people. What are they called again?
The Dothraki.
The Dothraki. Thank you. When the Dothraki come charging in, going after, I guess those are the Sons of the Harpy, right?
Yeah.
Who are basically just ripping apart people. And like, oh, like it's like yes, kill those motherfuckers.
Oh, they're so so douchey. Yeah.
And that, like, that one guy doesn't get his head go flying off or something, which was pretty awesome. But fast forwarding to what you so later in Marine, the stuff with Yara and Theon. First of all, I love the fact that they acknowledge that they all had really bad fathers. Huh. So happy Father's Day.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, I enjoyed that. Although I still kind of would have liked to have seen them show up, or at least them being told that they showed up, whatever. I understand for time and money, that's why they had to do this. But I was legitimately excited to see these characters interacting.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, whenever storylines can finally meet, it's nice. And we've seen it on other shows we've watched, like Lost or whatever, Battlestar Galactica, when you have characters who are separate, but when it comes to this show, I mean, these are characters who've never, well, some of them have never met, you know, and you realize that even when they film the show, they film in different countries.
Yeah.
So it must be really exciting for what's her name, Emily Clark, to actually work with, you know, these other people. And it's like, hey, I finally get to meet you on set. You know,
I liked when they were you know, having their little negotiation scene with the slavers there. I don't know if you noticed it because it was pretty quick, but like when they did a shot where they were looking at the slavers and like way, way, way in the background, you could just barely see like a dragon wing starting to flap. You know, like just
yes.
I'm just like, oh fuck yeah, it's so sweet. You know, just
Yeah, I saw that. I kept wondering. I was like, okay, I know a dragon's going to show up, and then I saw that. I was like, wait, is that it? And then I think It might have been Tyrion. Might have been the first one that see. There's like a reaction to see it or something.
That was a really good way of doing that. So,
And I also give him credit because first of all, when that dragon shows up, I mean, we know that they've been getting larger. We've seen them. They've been huge, but geez, they're dragon size now. I don't know if they get much bigger than this. If they do, Jesus Christ, I don't know if they're gonna be like a.
Oh yeah, and the other two blasting out of underneath the temple that. There. I mean, just, yeah. It's like one thing after another. Just they were firing on all cylinders for this marine ship.
Yeah, and that was the next thing I was going to mention. Exactly. I was wondering, what about the other two? Oh shit, they're busting out. You know? Yeah, absolutely. I mean, what I like about this is now this has happened, and now they've got this fleet. I'm hoping this means like, okay, from this point on, they're going to start moving. They're finally going to leave that part of the map, you know. Although I'm hoping it doesn't mean we're going to have like. Well, you know what? If Yara showed up there like within an episode or two, it shouldn't take them a season to get to the other side of the, to go in the other direction, right? I mean.
Right. Well, just, I mean, it's hard to really know exactly how they're going to do stuff. I mean, like, you know, I think they're going to have, like, a 7-episode season and a 6-episode season. So, if you, after right. this, so if you can kind of, like, figure out how they're going to want to break it up and, like, who, you know, who they're going to want to have in what position where. So, I mean, I'm not trying to think of what Dany would do first, but I would assume that maybe, like, the first half, you know, the end of the next half season or whatever it's going to be, I'm assuming, like, maybe, like, you know, that's when, like, the wall will fall or something, because, I mean, I'm sure at some point the wall is going to go down, and that kind of seems like the place for it. Well, it wouldn't make sense for Dany to be up there at that point, so, you know, what would they be doing before then, you know, just kind of, you know, were all around down south or whatever, so I don't know what they would do, but you know, they're going to be doing something.
Right, and it's also, what is the major thing? What do we consider to be the major culmination of things? Is it who takes the throne or the battle with the actual with the White Walkers?
Yeah,
because they're, you know, that I think that's kind of a huge thing too. And I don't know if that, I can't imagine that threat gets dealt with, and then we get to Dany getting to the throne or not. I don't. Of course, we don't know if she actually will. From what I've been told, the way these stories tend to go, even though they haven't quote unquote been written yet, they don't necessarily go for the happy ending. Although we got one tonight.
Yeah. So. Yeah, and they might just, you know, kind of sidestep it too, like maybe just have like, I mean, with the King's Landing stuff, I'm getting a strong impression that, like, you know, at some point, like, King's Landing is just going to end up completely fucked, you know, like the whole town's like pretty much going on a suicide run. So, you know, maybe just like this whole situation will just go to complete hell. Somebody will burn the whole city down and then just like, it ain't going to matter. So they can just, you know, bypass that.
That would be rather amazing. We'll see. I mean, I think that storyline, we'll see what happens in the next episode, certainly, and whether that continues into next season, because I think it's going to be the culmination of the battle between the High Sparrow and the cult forces and, you know, Cersei's and the Lannisters. And
right.
Hopefully someone kills her son, quite frankly. But anyway, we're talking about episodes that we haven't seen that haven't happened yet. We still got to finish talking about this one.
Oh, yeah.
So anyway, basically, I think it's great that these forces have united. Got these two really strong female characters. When she, there's a line that Yara has about when she's talking about, it's her uncle. She comes right out and says, "Well, he wants to give you his big cock, whatever." Huh. But there's something like a moment later about because he, you know, one of the things he'd be offering as part of the deal would be they would have to marry. And I suppose you wouldn't be able to offer that as well. And she says, well, she's up for anything. And I went, okay, that's really funny. Because we already know from previous episodes, oh, she's got a taste for the sapphic style. So that could be interesting. I don't think they're going to go there, but, you know, it's kind of funny just to think about. All right, do you want to switch over to the battle now?
Yeah, I think we've pretty much... covered all that stuff, so
yeah. So first, that what I liked was that initial little meeting, because I wasn't expecting that little prelude to the battle moment to happen, where we get Ramsay being, you know, pretty much as big a douchebag as we've seen him. I really kind of enjoyed that little moment. What did you think of it? What was your take on it?
Yeah, it was, you know, well done. Just, they had a lot of little stuff like this that were just, you know, just interesting moments like that, but yeah.
Yeah, there were definitely, I think we got a succession of scenes where they were peppering with these little character moments, so we got some really nice interactions. I mean, obviously that scene, I mean, it's the first time we have Jon Snow and Ramsay Bolton meeting, which makes it significant just for that reason. And obviously Ramsay's going to be the one doing most of the talking, you know. But I think Sansa kind of steals the scene, you know, yeah. with what she says. She comes off, by the way, I think Sansa comes off really great in this episode.
Yeah. Well, I mean, other than the fact that, like, if she had just accepted Littlefinger's offer of help in the first place, like, then they could have just, like, kicked ass and not, like, had an awesome, crazy battle episode, but, you know.
Well, yeah, but, you know, I think every character has one of those should-haves or could-haves.
Yeah.
You know, so that's just, we'll just put one on her docket.
But, oh, yeah, Sans has been, you know, she's been like Roses the whole season, so. And
yeah, you know, even skipping the battle, we can skip just because I was sticking with Sansa. I thought it was great that they had the final moments with Ramsay B between her and him.
Oh, yeah.
I thought that was, it had to be that way.
Oh, yeah. If they hadn't done that, that would have been just awful. So it would not have been a poetic justice at all.
And once Littlefinger's forces came in, then you realize, oh, Ramsay is going to lose this battle. Then I kept wondering, okay, how do they kill Ramsay? Because I figured they have to do something that's different. It can't be just, he can't just have his head cut off or be stabbed. It has to be something different, something original. So I was pleased that they went with, Yeah, he's going to be ripped apart by his own dogs.
It makes a lot of sense. I mean, like, what else would they do? And as soon as we saw him tied up like that, it's just like, okay, I figured that's probably what they were going to do. But and then I'm just like, huh, I never considered that as, like, an option. I'm sure we've seen people say it, you know, jokingly, but that's definitely the way to do it.
It also made me think of, it's almost like a Mason Berger kind of thing. You know, where he used to, originally
used to, like, be. Do the voice.
Oh, God. I wish I had some lines from the show. I would do it in Mason Berger.
Just imagine what Mason Verger would say. It's like the thought of Khaleesi and Yara, like, getting it on. There you go. he'd have something to say about that.
Oh, I've got a thing for scissors. Anyway, but I was very thrilled that they kind of went that route. But the best part was when Sansa walks away, she walks away with that nice little smile on her face after watching him be ripped apart by the dogs. I loved that. I thought that was great. The whole time the hounds were coming in, I was like, okay, one of them is going to lunge at his face, and I know it's going to freak me out, but I'm just going to keep my eyes peeled to it. And I was waiting, and then, oh, there it is!
And the scene with Sansa and Jon talking, where she just kind of called him out on how he should have been, like, consulting her and stuff. And I thought the scene, it kind of drug on a little bit long for me, where I'm just like, okay, be done with this. But it was just nice that they addressed that. And of course, you know, in hindsight, I mean, she was definitely right. And Jon's like, you know, let's just say if the White Walkers attack anywhere near Jon, hopefully he's not in charge, because he's not the best battle commander. Sorry, dude.
Of course, I mean... And if I'm going to say anything that's even remotely negative about Sansa, I'll just say, is there a tactical reason it appears that you didn't tell anybody that you contacted Littlefinger to help out? Huh. Because the impression we get is she didn't tell anybody. It's like, why wouldn't you tell anybody? I don't understand that.
It could have been she didn't know that if they were going to show up or not, too. So, I mean, just sent out a raven, then went to camp, and just there could have been a chance that just, you know, she didn't
That's
know.
True.
So they maybe he showed up, like, wherever her and Melisandre were hanging out and whatever.
Right. I mean, my feeling on it is that's a writing thing that they did there. Because if everybody knows, then they're just, then the whole scene is, they're waiting for them to show up. It's like, oh, one of the other forces is going to come save us. Whereas it becomes a bigger, I just think most people watching.
Yeah, they wanted to do the Return of the King thing there, and they did it. They did their, you know, end of Return of the King moment, and it was cool.
What I feel they should have done, because I know there was a previous episode where Sansa was writing that message, and of course, because in this day and age of the internet, you know, 10 minutes later, people had figured out what she was writing, and someone, you know, blew up the brief screenshot of the message and figured out what the message was and blah, 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 spoiling it for everybody. I think I wouldn't have even had that scene in there. I would have just had them show up, and then we find out that she'd contacted them. I didn't think we even needed to have the hint of that. Yeah. I think it would have been. I actually would have liked that better, because I wouldn't have been sitting there wondering if Littlefinger was going to show up.
Well, I'd forgot about that. I wasn't expecting Littlefinger to show up. I didn't have any idea what the hell was going to happen. I was kind of busy thinking about how, like, I just listened to, like, a real life history podcast about, like, the Persian Empire, and, like, how they, like, you know, somebody they were fighting or whatever used, like, a tactic like that, where they would, like, have, you know, heavily armored troops, like, just, like, you know, slowly march up on, like, a unit and just fucking stab the hell out of them. Like, that's how they would defeat archers. And it's like, huh. They do this back in, like, real human history, like, you know, back when we killed each other needlessly, unlike now, thank God. But I had no idea how they were gonna get out of it. I was into it that much, and I kind of forgot about Littlefinger, and I thought maybe, like, you know, Melisandre would, like, pull some, like, weird Red Witch, like, thing, maybe, I don't know, but I wasn't expecting it. So, and I didn't pay attention to that, you know, that screen cap thing, whatever they did. I just kind of ignored it.
Right, but I will say this, for compared to other major battle-y things, this is one of the few times I was legitimately, like, not sure who was going to live and who was going to die. I wasn't sure that Ramsay would die or not. I mean, even with what Sansa said, I wasn't. The only thing I kept thinking is, like, they wouldn't have brought Jon Snow back from the dead just to kill him a few episodes later. This isn't Lost.
This isn't The Walking Dead.
Or The Walking Dead. Yeah, that's even a better example, quite frankly, in this day and age. The battle scene itself, you know, which went on for a very long stretch of time, I thought it was really well done because I thought they mixed a bunch of different styles throughout it.
Yeah.
So you could, you had things which were reminiscent of, you know, movies and stagings, like, you know, everything from Braveheart to the Lord of the Rings movies. But then you also had kind of the feeling, the up close and personal feeling of violence, you know, which goes back to even like the opening of Saving Private Ryan, where,
yeah.
You, and John, back to bed, that whole sequence when Jon Snow is basically kicking fucking ass.
Huh.
I was like, oh, this is the Jon Snow I kind of like. this is really something.
Yeah, and you know, maybe they do stuff like this in like 300 or some of these movies. I never ever watching those, like, I don't watch these, like, you know, big CGI fest, like medieval battle type things, but so I'm sure they've done this and this kind of thing, but for me, I found it to be pretty cool. You know, just, you know, like you said, like the, you know, storming the beaches of Normandy, but like with swords and arrows and giants and shit, and I thought it was like, you know, it's cool. You know, they use like that kind of like the jittery frame rate and just stuff, and it was, you know, it was very effective. And, you know, and just, you know, the realism was kind of cool, too. Just like, oh, you know, of course it would be just a giant clusterfuck like this in real life. That must have been terrible 1,200 years ago.
Right, absolutely. And like I said, I just like that you could go from, you know, these big sweeping shots and, you know, the hordes coming to, you know, just one person just trapped in with all those people in the mud and almost suffocating from it. I mean, it was what made it really different for me. Like when they are enclosed in with the whole thing with the shields and the spears that you were talking about, where it's almost like the human trash compactor kind of thing. But that point where when John is almost like trapped in, it's like the worst rush hour train of all time or something like that. And I was like going, oh shit. I actually was nervous because, like, how the fuck are you going to get out of this? And then the voice is like, Littlefinger. I was like, oh yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Well, yeah, they did a really good job of just, like, you know, really making, you know, the viewer kind of feel the suffocation that the characters are going through. You know, just like John's just completely fucked. The wildlings are, like, trapped, which they're obviously not into, and they're just trapped and not taking it well. And just, like, I'm like, whoa. I mean, they're really, you know, it was good shit.
Did you enjoy, Tormund taking a big chomp out of that guy?
Oh yeah.
it's like that's what being a wildling's all about.
Oh, we didn't talk about the beginning of the battle too, the ship with Rickon. Oh my god.
You know, so I'm watching that scene and you knew once, you know what, again, once Sansa said earlier her brother's gonna die, you know, I kind of like, okay, there's no way the kids make it. And since he was never really much of a character, I don't feel it was really a loss for, at least for TV viewers. Maybe book readers cared more about him, I guess. But I didn't really give a fuck about him, quite frankly. But I kept thinking, and I hate to do this because, you know, it's not, it's just, you don't do it in movies or TV because it's never written that way. It's like, hey, here's an idea. Don't run in a straight line.
Yeah.
Why not, like, zigzag just a little bit? I'm watching. He's running away. Of course he's eventually going to hit him. He's shown himself to be, like, a really accomplished archer.
Yeah.
He's toying with you. But if you just veered.
Well, yeah.
Just...
Yeah, I'm just like I was watching it. I'm just like, you know, I bet you Scott's gonna make some like end of Prometheus joke here, because it was just like, I'm just like, just drop to the fucking ground, douchebag. Just like, you know,
yeah!
Outside, do whatever, you know. Just lay there. There must be a freaking hole in the ground, you know. Why, fuck.
Yeah, well, if you just laid down, it probably. I did enjoy the lovely indignity they did by having the body. Hit by several more arrows. I was like, "Oh, they really don't care about this kid at all."
but it definitely was a very effective way to, like, you know, ramp up the stakes even higher, like right before the battle, because, you know, like you said, these characters haven't really spent a lot of time together, and we've seen Ramsay do some shitty stuff, but it's been, you know, they haven't, you know, it's just nice that they really escalated things right there, right before the battle, just to, you know, get us all worked up even more.
Absolutely, that actually made it different than a lot of the other battle scenes we've seen on this show, most of which have been very well done, you know, mind you. But it added a personal quality right off the bat that happened there, not just something that fed into the battle, like what Ramsay had done to Sansa. Obviously, you know, we want to see Ramsay get killed just for that alone, but the fact he would do something like this right now, right at the beginning of the battle, because, and they, I like how they fucked with us too, because I think most people were thinking he was gonna like slash his throat right then and there, and instead they the writers kind of like, oh, let's make it worse. And I was thinking as I'm watching, oh, really well done, guys.
Yeah.
Even though I kept thinking, kid, run back and forth. But
and you know, Ramsay is a douchebag. Can't say Ramses apparently, but but they definitely showed this, like, you know, he's smart. I mean, that was really good tactics. I mean, and it worked so well. I mean, I'm sure when they had their little parlay before, he sized John up a bit and just saw, like, you know, he would have a reaction to that. So he just, you know, he played him and it worked very well. And his tactics were sound. I mean, if it wasn't for Littlefinger showing up, I mean, they would have just completely crushed him.
And the thing is, the way Ramsay fights is, he doesn't give a fuck if he ends up killing off a bunch of his own men, because he's got men to spare. So that's why that was the whole thing where he kept letting the archers let the arrows fly over and over, even though he was clearly killing a lot of his own men as well. But he's got so many more, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
So, and I know we've seen a lot of these battle scenes, but I don't remember one that had so many bodies piled up. The way they did here, these were literally mountains of bodies that people were having to climb over.
Yeah.
So that was they took the carnage to a new level there, at least. So I'm trying to think of anything else that I really about his death, because we've seen different characters that the audience loves to hate on the show over the years. Obviously, King Joffrey is probably the most obvious one, and then Ramsay, maybe Tywin, I guess, to a certain degree. But although I never hated his character, you know, or loved to hate this character the way I did like Joffrey or this one. I want to say that, I mean, obviously we all hated King Joffrey as well, but this was a far more satisfying death than the way Joffrey died.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, yeah, when Joffrey died, it was more like confusion because we just didn't know what the fuck was going on. But this is just like, okay, this is what we've been waiting for. We knew this was going to happen because we didn't read the fucking books ahead of time and know. And, you know, it was satisfying.
I will also confess, I was getting worried during the initial part of the conversation between Sansa and Ramsay at the very end. The way they were talking, I was like, okay, is this where they're going to be dropping a hint, a major hint that she might be pregnant? Because I hate the idea that she could be pregnant. But the way that conversation went, I'm going to cross my fingers, believe that's not the case, because it ends with her saying everything about him is going to be wiped out and forgotten, and he doesn't get to say anything else about it. So she had the, I felt like she had the final word there.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping that's what that means. And that we won't, because I don't want to deal with that. I don't want that storyline. Because she wins if Ramsay and any trace of Ramsay is no more. If that happens, then it's not really a win. Although, you know, that might be what they choose to do. But I'm going to hope that's not where they're going to go.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. That was actually the end of the episode. So was there anything else of any note that you thought?
Well, I guess. Go ahead.
By the way, I can be a little forgetful when it comes to certain details about this show. You know, I had forgotten until this episode, like, and it was right when before the battle started, that the House, I guess it's House Bolton, is that what it is? That their flag is it's a freaking flayed man. I mean, everyone else has got, you know, a lion or a stag or a wolf. It's like a guy who's had his skin ripped off, that's your flag.
Yeah, just like, oh yeah, hanging upside down like guy that's been whipped. Just like, oh, that's cool. Just like, okay, hon, I'm going to work today. I'm just going to throw in this flayed man, you know, chest plate. And fuck yeah, let's go tear some shit up.
Is there going to be another house that's got like a pair of like hacked off balls or something? Is that the next thing we're going to have?
It's douchey as fuck, but I gotta tell you, if we ever decide we wanted to sneak into a Trump rally, I think a flayed man flag might get us in. So,
Well, it might depend on what color the guy is. Oh, I can't believe it.
We're both I think we're both pale enough to get in there, so.
Yes, definitely we are. All right. So
I was just going to say that this episode, I really noticed any scenes with Davos, I'm just like, you know what, that dude's a really good fucking actor. I mean, even like when they're having the parlay and he's just standing, you know, riding his horse behind him, just kind of looking all serious and stuff, and just, you know, and then as he's freaking out, like, oh, you know, Melisandre probably burnt my, you know, my princess up. It's, you know, whatever he's going to do is pretty cool, but I just, you know, I like that actor. He's just rock solid, so.
Oh, I mean, especially in this episode, but even in all episodes, he's one of the characters and the actor, he's like instant gravitas.
Yeah.
I mean, and so everything he says, you're like, you know, like, there are some people you can imagine they're kind of playing dress up a little bit here, and you can imagine them in, like, regular modern day. So the character and an actor like that, I just believe him. It's like, I believe he's lived that life, you know, his life of a smuggler, and now he's, you know, the thing with status and now this. He just delivers lines with such, you know, believability and conviction. He's aces. That's why I love that scene between him and Tormund, because those were two characters that I wouldn't have really thought of having much of anything in common. But then when you listen to them talk, like, oh yeah, there are some interesting parallels here. Uh-huh. And I kind of forgot that, hey, his guy kind of burned his guy. Kind of forgot about that.
The actor that plays Davos, Liam Cunningham, I've only seen him in one other thing. He's in the movie Hunger. You know which one I'm talking about? The one where, like, Michael Fassbender is, like, on a hunger strike, like, and he's in the IRA or something like that.
I know the movie, but I haven't seen it.
Yeah, anyway, it's an okay movie. It's pretty brutal. But there's a scene in there where it's just where Michael Fassbender and Liam Cunningham is, like, his priest or something like that. And they have, like, there's, like, a 15-minute monologue with him. And I don't think there's, like, a single fucking cut in the scene. Just, like, they're both just going on and on forever. They're both, you know, pretty top-notch actors. So it's good shit. He's just a good guy. Good actor.
I know I've seen him in at least one movie in the last year or so, or maybe it was a British TV show, but for the life of me, I cannot think of what it is right now, and I don't have the time to go look on IMDb, but I know I've seen him in at least one or two other things, and yeah, he's very good. This episode overall, I mean, again, we're back to it being like the penultimate episode of a season, and Game of Thrones is always known for their penultimate episodes. I feel it ranks really well right alongside some of the better ones.
Right.
You know?
Well, yeah, last year, I mean, we kind of had the switcheroo where Hard Home was episode 8, and like the episode after that was just, I don't know, the one where the Sons of the Harpy attacked the arena in rain or something, and it was just like not good. But
right, last year was kind of the weird exception to the rule. That's true. What's interesting is that usually when I think of the classic episode nines, they have kind of a, you know, a major thing, but it might not necessarily be like a happy thing.
No.
Well, it's definitely seasons 1 and 3. I mean, they're memorable and shocking, but not happy. 2, maybe. 2, you can say maybe, the whole Blackwater thing. But this might be the episode 9 that has the most satisfying ending, because the least beloved character of all, perhaps in the history of Game of Thrones, gets his just desserts, or at least the dogs do. Wouldn't it have been funny if someone, like, goes to that scene and just, like, starts, like, looping in, like, Scooby-Doo sound? Would be awesome. Someone just replaced Sansa with like Shaggy or something.
and then replaces the end credits music with the Scooby Doo theme song.
And then for no reason, Dastardly and Muttley show up, which makes it totally different cartoon. And there's the Harlem Globetrotters. Anyway, so I definitely feel this one kind of ranks pretty well alongside them. I mean, we just watched it less than an hour ago, so I don't know what's better or worse. I do like that I was into and interested in all the storylines that they covered here, and I thought they did a pretty good job, especially after last week's episode being kind of
I mean, it was okay, but you know, it's definitely, you know, for me, for one thing, it was like, you know, it was weird that like I was watching Game of Thrones as like a break from like the needless violence and gratuity of real life. I'm just like, okay, Game of Thrones is tame, the real life is like shit, what the fuck's going on, you know, we suck. But you know, so I enjoyed it on that aspect. It was a good it was a nice pleasant diversion from.
Yeah, I didn't hate last week's episode. I definitely liked some of it. It was just okay.
Yeah.
This has been it's been mostly a strong season. There have been some scenes that kind of fell flat, and there have been at least one storyline that maybe we'll talk, if we get together again, maybe we'll talk about it at that point, which I think we may be I think we're in agreement about. As far as not really working as well as I think the writers or anyone really intended it to. Arya.
Oh, yeah.
In 15 seconds, I'll just say the problem with that whole storyline. It was two seasons that should have been one. You push that all into one season, I'm fine with it. Two seasons? No. And I hated more what they did last season with that more than this season. I actually liked more of it this season. Last season, I thought it was just why you just wasted an entire season, I thought. But, again, that's a conversation for
me. Yeah. Well, yeah. And I'm sure you saw me joking to CJ of just like, you know, it's like Rocky V and Terminator 3. It's just like the worst training and like the worst fucking chase shit. It's just like, you know, this can be a lot fucking better than it could be. But you know what? It just isn't. So.
Yeah, I think the only thing that would have made that chase cool is if you just put, you know, maybe put the Benny Hill music in there. Or if you don't want to be jokey about it, or even take the music from like Raiders of the Lost Ark when they're running around, you know, trying to get away when Marion's trying to run around, that would have worked.
Anyway. I kind of would. I've kind of thought it'd be fun to test out my video editing skills and maybe just like, you know, splice that with like the Terminator 2 like chase thing, you know, just to have like, you know, they're turning around and like the waif chasing them and like, you know, in a semi truck or something.
But the only problem is, like, Terminator 2, it's a fucking cool chase. It's fucking iconic. This is like, what? I thought it was just ridiculous. As ridiculous as the theories were before that episode, that whole thing was just, I didn't even see the point of it. It's like, really? I didn't even get the whole, I'm going to go send her to kill her now. Why? She failed, therefore she has to die? Why?
But for me, this season of Game of Thrones has been my favorite for quite a long time, you know, maybe since season two or something. And just for me, Game of Thrones, my biggest issues have always been, like, really bad pacing. You know, it'll take Jon Snow 14 episodes to get to the wall, and, like, you know, somebody will be in the same position for, like, 8 episodes, and I'm just like, fucking do something. And then they'll have, like, you know, just needless, like, hey, internet, look at me, gratuity. Look, we're doing something shitty, internet, look. But this season they've managed to avoid that for, well, yeah, 9 episodes. Maybe next week it'll just be like a fucking, you know, just an endless rape fest where, like, one character just, like, you know, walks across, you know, from one house to another, like, a block away, and it takes an entire hour. But you know, I think they've listened to my criticisms. They've jumped on the, you know, Benioff and Weiss have jumped on the STVD podcast page, looked at our comments, and just like, okay. Maybe this schlub that works at KFC is right. Maybe we should, you know, tone it down a notch.
I'm going to say, when people decide that they want to agree with you, that means they're jumping on the Dan wagon. I'm so proud of that. Anyway, not as proud as I am of the picture I made for our thread on Facebook today, but anyway. all right, so I was excited to get together and talk about the episode in a just freewheeling style. So.
Yeah, maybe we'll jump on and do it next week if the episode's decent enough to be worth talking about.
Yeah, I mean, although if it turns out to be a shitty episode, I might want to talk about it that much more. It's kind of like my threat to do a podcast just about watching the final 9 episodes of Gotham. It might be more fun just to rip apart something for
it's going to record a 7-hour podcast just like you like doing a commentary on him.
Oh man!
Yeah, and just like every time you get mad at something, you take a shot, and it's like I can just imagine how like completely like classic it'd be by the season finale. Oof!
Oh, I don't know how I can think of how drunk I'd be by like 30 minutes into the first episode. Especially now that I've heard more news about the next season, which is making me kind of go, oh, don't
You
get me
know,
started.
I stopped halfway through season one. You know you can just fucking stop. You did, you know, there's
I
enough to
know,
watch
but.
everything. You're not betraying anybody by deciding, you know what, I deserve the best possible version of this fucking character. You're not giving it to me? Fuck you. I'm gonna go watch fucking The Americans or something. I don't fucking care.
Right.
I need to do this.
I should. I know, but maybe. You know what? I have a lot of things in my life that I can be. Direct my anger and hatred towards, but this is a much safer venue for me. And hey, you know, maybe I'll watch them, maybe I'll like them. It's weird things. There have been a few episodes I haven't minded. I do like one or two of the performers on the show, you know, so you never know. It's very unlikely, but you never know. Anyway, so yeah, definitely we'll hopefully we may be able to get back together next week and do one for the finale.
Yes.
I'm also, I can't really talk much about it until it's actually been done, but I'm just going to drop a hint for folks here. I'm also going to be part of another project, which will probably be posted on our Facebook page probably in a couple weeks. It's not all I'm going to say about it. It is podcast related, but it's not TV related. And hopefully it'll be something that'll be fun for anyone to listen to. And hopefully it will be briefer than most podcasts that I tend to be part of. Oh, of course, you know,
I'm knocking on wood, buddy.
You know, you never know.
Well, I guess I actually have a small amount of podcast self-promotion. Next week I'm going to record a podcast with our friend Susan and our friend Pat on their Geek Girl Soup podcast about the last half of season, this season of Game of Thrones, so that'll be fun. I haven't been a guest on a podcast for a while. And then our friend Will, he does a Babylon 5 intro cast, and I've been plowing my way through that rather than, like, you know, watching shows like I should be watching, like Person of Interest or whatever. So I think I'm going to end up, you know, guesting on maybe an episode or two of their season when they get to season 5, because I've got through it pretty fast. So Will, if you're listening to this, and you fucking better be, because I just listened to like 100 episodes of your fucking podcast in the last like 3 weeks. So you can listen to one of ours. But so. Yeah, down below. It's a good podcast. Good show.
He's still listening to our podcast from 2014 while he's taking a shower or something. I just seem to have a memory of him saying that.
Well, unlike most of our listeners, at least you take showers, so am I right?
I don't know what to say to that, except now I feel like I need to take a shower. Anyway, so let me get through the wrap-up real quick here. If you enjoyed this podcast, then you'll probably enjoy the Facebook page we've referred to a few times. It's the Serious TV Drama Podcast. That's how you'll find us. You can like the page, join the page, and join the conversation about all sorts of TV shows and other crap we talk about there. You can also find us on iTunes the very same way, Serious TV Drama Podcast. You can subscribe to our feed, and you can also rate and review us there. Every rating and review we get does help us show up when people are searching for a specific podcast. We've only gotten one or two ratings and reviews this year, so it would be nice if we got a few more. But I shouldn't complain too much, because I've looked at a lot of other podcasts. We do have more than other people, so you know, fuck everybody else. And finally, you can also follow us on Twitter. Our handle there is at STVD Podcast. That's STVD as in Serious TV Drama Podcast. And that is about it. It was great to, again, it's been, I think it really has been at least a month since the two of us have been on a podcast. So that's kind of cool to get back together again.
Yeah, it's been a while. It's been fun. So I missed it.
All right. Well, I will bid you adieu. You have a good night, Dad, and good night to everyone else out there as well.
Yep. Good night.